All right, it's a real pleasure to invite our very own Peter. Yay! Yay.
Right, morning, everyone. I'm not used to this, so you're going to have to keep reminding me because I will keep doing this. So I will try. Okay, if we could put these on, I can see what I'm doing. Okay, yes and amen. I want to look today about the promises of God and that they are yes and amen. Or are they? I'm just going to read this. I should bang into it. Okay, can we have the first slide? I thought I'd start with a joke. I saw this and I loved it. So, man goes, "So what's the problem?" says the dentist. "I think I'm a moth," the man replied. "You need a psychiatrist, not a dentist. What made you come here?" Your light was on. I thought that was lovely. Sorry, that's my level. That's where I am. That is hilarious. That makes me smile for a week. But excellent. I can go sit down now. That's fine. But also, on a slightly serious note, but not very, if our light's on, who knows what we'll attract? Yeah. Okay, we can have the next slide, thank you. So today I want to have a look at 2 Corinthians 1:20, which I learnt hundreds of years ago from the King James. "For all the promises of God in him are yea," or yes, "and in him," amen, "unto the glory of God by us." I have heard this for years and years and years. And I sort of had it in my head, the promises of God, they're great, and we hear lots about the promises of God, and they're yes and amen, because Jesus has done it all. And he has. Can't possibly argue with that, I'm not trying to. But I don't think I quite got it. But the trouble was, later on, when I read different translations, I still had this in my head. I knew what it meant, I'd got that bit. "For no matter how many promises of God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Very, very slightly different. And the difference is what I'd like to have a look at. And we're going to go through the NIV version, because that's the one I've got here, in a bit more detail. So firstly, what are the promises of God? They are exceedingly great. We've got some of them on the next slide. Hopefully. We could spend days and days and days looking just at each one of those. Yeah, there's eternal life. Oh, can we go back? Oh, there we are. Eternal life, 1 John 2:24. Now, these are just a reference to back that up. There's probably hundreds dotted everywhere. But look it up if you want. Forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, the Holy Spirit, Luke 11:32, money, provision, Philippians 4:19, healing, Jeremiah 30:17, wisdom or guidance, in James, a famous one, children and family will be looked after, Isaiah 49:25, and we are promised peace, Isaiah 26:3, overcoming temptation, Hebrews 2:18. I'm saying all these in case anybody wants to listen to it later. Just because they won't have that. Protection, Proverbs 18:10, overcoming fear. You'll notice there's two here, because I'm preaching to me more than you. So I thought I'll have about two of those in there. Psalm 34:4, John 14:27. Resurrection, John 5:28 and 29. And the end of all suffering in Revelation 21:4. Hallelujah. Mind you, hallelujah to all of those. Yeah. Now, if one of these is standing out to you, then maybe take a note of it, look it up, pray over it. These are God's promises to his children, and God is faithful. He keeps his promises, every single one of them. And I'm sure there are loads more too. Okay, if we could have the next slide. Now, this is Joshua, and I thought this was amazing, because this is Joshua at the end of his life. Now, there's not a lot Joshua didn't see. He was there with Moses through all of that, and then he moved into the promised land, and he saw all of that. And the promises of God to the Israelites as they went through the wilderness, they left Egypt, and they went back. Yeah, they went into the promised land. Well, amazing, and we know that. And this is what he said at the end of his life, having seen what God had done, been so close to God. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. Not one. Oh, years and years and years. The people mucked up. God's promises were not affected. They might have been delayed a bit for some of them. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. And that's what he'll do for us. And we know that the testimonies of what God has done for other people are invitations for us. We can look at those promises. We can claim them. They say they are. That's for me. That's my testimony. That's my inheritance. So all the promises they got, we can claim. All those promises we listed before, we can claim. So, firstly, the promises of God. Yeah? No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken. Promises of God, they are yes in Christ. Secondly, the promises are yes in Christ, and we are in Christ. Right. Next slide. This lit up to me a year, I think, or so ago. It might have been slightly more than that. And every time I just keep coming back to it. And I keep coming. I've only preached twice here, I think, the second time. I think I put this up as well last time. And if I preach again, it's quite likely it'll be up again then. To me, then I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Crammed writing, not just on one side, but both sides. You couldn't get any more in it, and that's us. Our names are written and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaim in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break their seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth. Could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside it. I don't know how many times I read over that before it hit me. That was us before Christ. No one. God had made the scroll, he had written our names in it. And we were lost. Just totally, there was nobody. What can we do? Nobody can open it. That's the end. Then. What then? Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals, and it all changes. We are now in Christ." Excuse me. The promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And we are in Christ. They are for us. The end. That's it. We've just got to get hold of him. He's done it. He came and conquered sin and death and made heaven and the presence of God available to us. It wasn't available to us, but now it is. So, preaching to me, especially, I've got to make sure that I don't live in the top bit. I live in the bottom bit. It's available. Okay. Next one, please. Thank you. We are in Christ. If you don't believe me, look. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Corinthians 12, 27. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. John 17:20-21, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We are in Christ. Jesus himself prayed for it. And he was in touch with the Father. He knew exactly what the Father was. He prayed it and it happened. He prayed that for us. It happened. Jesus prayed that we would all be united as one body, because we and everyone who believes in him are all in him. One big, wonderful, slightly weird family. But it's more than that. And God loves us, that's why he did it. But he did it so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's a purpose to all this. The promises of God are for us, so that the world may believe that Jesus was sent by his Father. Yes. We'll see a bit more about that later. Okay, next one. Thank you. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Sort of slightly off the promises of God, but this is why we have the promises of God. Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said, I am God's son. Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. And he is in us and we are in him. Now, I'm not saying this so, oh, I don't do the works of Jesus. I don't go and heal Disney. Well, some you do in all sorts of ways. But I say this so that you know what is available to us, what the promises of God are all about. This is what we have access to. I wrote down it was a natural consequence of being in Christ that we can do the works. But I then crossed it out and said it is a supernatural consequence of us being in Christ that we can do the works that he does, because the promises are for us and we are in him. So to recap, we have amazing, staggering promises from God. We have access to those promises because we are in Christ. Because we are in Christ, we can bear fruit so that people believe the Father loved them so much he sent Jesus. Okay, thirdly, if we could have the next one. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And that's the bit I didn't really get until recently, I think. All this is for us, all this is available for us, but I think we have a part to play in it. We have to say the amen. We don't earn it, we can't make it happen. It's already been done. But through him, the amen is spoken to us. That's the bit I didn't get, because the first one is there's all yes and amen in Christ. It's all together. But Christ has said the yes. Christ has performed a yes. And it's already there. Bill Johnson keeps going on about, we have all this in our bank account, in our spiritual bank account. But it's no good if it stays in our bank account. We've got to go and make some withdrawals. God can do anything he wants, but he has chosen to give us free will and to let us work with him to transform the world. Genesis 1:28 backs that up. In God's plan and in scripture, there is something really special about more than one person agreeing. And I don't really get it. I sort of read it, but I don't understand how God made it work. I'm not saying it shouldn't. It is more special than I can get my head round, I think. So can we have a look at the next one? In Deuteronomy, one witness is not enough to connect anyone accused of any crime or offence they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Understand that safeguard, but it's there. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. It's there again, two or three people. Truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So that's two people. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. We know this, yes? But I think there's something about Jesus said it, we agree with it, and that just makes it powerful. That just makes it so much more powerful. He wants to work in us and through us. We know that. Otherwise, he could just sit in heaven and do it all. And he doesn't do that. We are the house of God now. We are the temple of God. When Jacob was on the way to get a wife, he saw angels ascending and descending on the spot where he was with Jacob's ladder. We've all heard the story. And he named it Bethel, house of God. Now, we are the house of God. We are the temple of God. This is where God lives, in us. Yeah? So, over us, we have an open heaven. Heaven is open over us. We are the house of God. Angels can ascend and descend over us. We have access to that. We're like the gateway. We have to open the gate. And if we open the gate, the angels and the power and the kingdom of God can come down through us and be released around us. But we have to agree with that. We have to say that amen. Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing, which was loving his people. He saw what his Father was doing and declared it, and saw lives touched and great miracles. We can get hold of what God wants us to do, what God wants to do in his promises. If he has promised it, he's got to want it to happen. You can't argue, you know. He wouldn't say, oh, we're going to do this, but actually I don't want that to happen. No, he's God. If he said, I want this to happen, if he said, I promise I will do this, this is available to you if you only ask, he must want it to happen. So what promises has God put or is God putting on your heart? Because he wants it to happen. It's not the end. God is still speaking. You know, we saw that thing, that picture this morning, which I saw as the mouth of God, just speaking over us. He is still speaking. And everything that's gone before. There is a verse in Luke, which apparently... I'll read it. Oh, on the next one? I put most of them on there. We got the next slide? Is it Luke? No. Okay, go back one. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. This was when the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. And he said, this can't be, I'm too old. And he got into trouble and was struck dumb. Now, apparently the translation for what the angel said, your prayer has heard, can be the prayer you're no longer praying. Remember that prayer you used to pray, but you gave up. You thought, oh well, too late, not for me. God had heard, just waiting for God's timing. So even the prayers we give up on, God doesn't give up on. Even if it's delayed, God doesn't give up on it. So take hold of these promises and declare them. Write them down and review them. Brood over them like a chicken sitting there on those eggs. Yes? There's special spots, apparently, on a hen's chest where it gets extra warm. I don't know. And as the eggs press against it, it warms the eggs. But it also feels good to the hen because it sort of loses some of the heat into the egg. And we need to get to that place where it feels good just to pray that. I can feel this. This is what I was made for. To pray this prayer. to brood over this. It is coming. God, I believe you. It's going to happen. And keep saying it until you bring that kingdom promise down from earth, down to earth from heaven. When you have a promise, thank him for it and remind God of what he said. That's, yeah. The main God, it's God. Yeah. If you did that with people, you told me such and such, people can get really upset. Now you said, oh yeah, I'll do it. You know? So I keep saying devoured. You don't have to keep reminding me every 6 months. I will get round to it. Huh? So quote the scriptural prophecy. Have your Bible open on that verse. Remember when the letter was sent to Hezekiah and said, we are going to tear Jerusalem down. Your God is useless. He got the letter and he opened it out in front of the temple, in front of the ark in the temple, and said, God, look, this is what they're saying. Yeah, not quite the same. But have your Bible open and say, Father, in Exodus 15:26, you said, I am the Lord who heals you. You said that. So will you heal? And put the name to finish the prayer. God, in Genesis 22:24, our father in faith, Abraham, declared you Jehovah Jireh, a God who will provide. That was done. It's in your word. You promised that. So will you provide for whatever. Father, in James 1:5, you said, if anyone of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all, and I love this bit, without finding fault. So if you're lacking wisdom, presumably you've been a bit stupid. Yeah? But he doesn't come and say, yeah, but you were really dumb, weren't you? Wow, what a mess. Yes, he doesn't do that. You ask who gives generously without, and he doesn't find fault with it. And it will be given. You acknowledge your need. So will you help me understand this bit? I just don't get it. Why isn't this happening? I've prayed. It's not working. Why not? Why is Ian and Sabina not in Britwell yet? I just don't understand. So will you help me understand or bring them here? Then I won't have to understand. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There are times when we have to wait, and patience is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus never, ever, ever asked anyone on earth to come back because it was not God's time to heal them. Ever. He didn't say, but it's Wednesday, isn't it? Sorry, because I don't do that on a Wednesday. Can you come back next Saturday? Because I'm booked up tomorrow as well. No. Whoever came to him was healed. That's it. He said several times the kingdom was at hand and had arrived. He said quite the opposite in one sense. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And that's John 4:35. So he didn't say, go away, come back later. He said, hurry up. You think you've got 4 months? Actually, it's ready now. So we need to be prepared to ask for now and not think, oh, well, it's not God's time. Yeah. Don't understand all of that, but there was, however, one time when Jesus did say it was not the right time. There was one. And that was at Cana. In John 2:4. Did I got that one up? Yeah. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So they're sort of add-ons. They're her plus one. Yeah, it was the mum who was knew the family, I presume. And I think everybody gets invited. If you're anywhere within 20 miles of the place, come along. When the wine had gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Man, don't you love that? You know, she didn't say, go and do some more wine. They just said, they have no more wine. Yes? Do something about it is never said, is it? I never asked you. Yes? But it's there. They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus was like, my hour has not yet come. So for once, we do know it was the wrong time. Sorry. Yes, come back in about 2 years. I'm in the middle of my ministry then. It'll probably be about okay. Can you see that look on his mother's face? His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. It might be in 6 months. Yeah. Try ask again then. Yeah. Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to his servants, fill the jars to water, so they filled them to the brim, and we know what happened. And this was when it was not his time. This was too soon. How many gallons would you have made if it was the right time? This is just the total overflow abundance. Oh, it's not ready, it's not right, but okay, we'll do something. This is the... You know? The abundance and the provision of God is like that and more. Oh dear. Let's get hold of what God has for us and declare and keep declaring the amen that we're supposed to. Okay, fourthly, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Can't forget this bit. It all has to bring glory to our amazing, all-conquering, all-loving Father. So let's have a look at Ephesians 3, another one of my favourite bits. A bit before this is... But this... mind-blowing. Now to him it was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So we've been looking at these are the promises of God, and we should think about them, and we should ask, and we should pray for them, we should say the amen. And here we have, yeah, but he can do immeasurably more than that. His mum asked for some wine to keep him going, and he did 180 gallons, immeasurably more than we ask. Or imagine, the stuff we don't ask for, but we sort of imagine. No problem. But then there's a next step, more than we can imagine. Well, I don't know what that is, because you can't imagine it. But he can do it anyway. And he's probably doing it every day. Well, he is doing it every day. Well, in the context of all these promises, which you can read, but start thinking, can God do that? Will God do that? Is that really possible? When will he do that? We see that he can do more than we can ask or imagine. And it doesn't say, according to the power he has in heaven, which makes sense, or in Christ, but according to his power that is at work within us. And that power within us is that Christ within us. Take hold of that Christ in you. Do we want more of his power working in us? Because if we do, we need to believe it's possible and say the amen and spend that time in him, with him, getting to know his promises. Now, all this we just read is amazing, but it's not actually the main part of the sentence. It's the extra information that can be removed for those who went to school. It's the subordinate clause. When we remove it, we see what is more important. And I think I've got that on the next one. No, next one. No? Okay, go back to then. Now to him be the glory in the church and in the Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. He said to him twice, just to match up with what Ian was saying at the beginning with all the to hims and from hims and through hims. See, it's all planned. Yeah, we get together, we spend ages going through this. Make sure it all fits just perfectly. Of course. Now to him, and he says it twice, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. He wants to bring glory to God through the church. That's us. As we say the Amen, as we have all these immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, as we have all the promises of God in the church and in Christ Jesus, because Christ did it. We're his bride. It all works together through all generations. So that includes us. It wasn't back then in Old Testament times and then it stops. It's not at the end of time something might happen. It's every generation forever and ever and ever. That's right now. That is today, this morning, this afternoon, tomorrow. Jesus came so we could have abundant life. God has given us promises for now. He wants his kingdom established by his church here on earth. He wants us to take hold of all he has given us and declare the Amen. So we will bear fruit for him, so his kingdom will increase, so the captives will be set free, for those in deep darkness will see a great light. This is the year of Jubilee. Everyone gets set free in the year of Jubilee. Everyone. And everyone receives back their rightful inheritance in the year of Jubilee. But all of it must be to bring our wonderful Father glory. If we think it's about us, we miss the point. If we give him the glory, we are drawn into an awe-filled worship and we see more of him and become more like him and are better equipped to represent him and to bring him more glory. So let's take hold of what God has given us and believe it is for us now. Let us pray without ceasing and lay out our requests before the Father who wants to interact with us. That's why he made us, to walk in the garden in the cool of the evening. That was how it was. That's the plan. It is right to remind him and any other powers who might be listening what he has already said and done and what Jesus has released to us on the cross. And let's listen and watch to see what God will do and what God will say. And then say the Amen. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for Jesus and everything he achieved for us. I thank you that the scroll is now open. I thank you that every promise you ever said, every promise you ever thought is available to us now. They are our inheritance in Christ. So Lord, I just pray now for new revelation to each one of us, that you are our God, you are our provider, you are our healer, you are our comforter, you are the one who just loves us so much, who gave us your only son for us. And you have so much, immeasurably more than we can think, imagine or ask, just waiting for us as we bring you glory and glorify your name. And as we worship you, we become more like you. So amazing. Lord, this week, draw us closer to you. This week, answer our prayers and let's see breakthrough. Breakthrough in healing, breakthrough in finances, breakthrough in family life, breakthrough with children. Lord, you're just so amazing. You are just waiting to pour out. And we right now, together, we declare amen to the promises of God. You have said yes, we agree, we say amen together. And we thank you now for what you are doing. We thank you for what you're about to do. Release it through us, that we may be seen as Bethel, the house of God, with Christ in us, that the world will know, they will know that you sent Jesus and that you have broken the mold, you have broken the way through and released your power into us. Let your kingdom come right here in each one of us, in each one of our homes, in each one of our places of work, in our families, in our minds. Break down those strongholds, Lord, and glorify your name in us all. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.